Hey, welcome to the Push Pull Sales and Marketing Podcast. I'm Marcella.
And I'm Sherry. And each episode will provide you with sales and marketing strategies that you can implement immediately into your own business.
Today, I am doing this solo podcast because I want to walk you through all the various steps involved in publishing and promoting an article for a website. Call it an article, call it a blog post, call it whatever you'd like. But there are a lot of small pieces that go into each and every piece. So I want to step through it with you to see if I can spark some new ideas, some new strategies, something that you may be able to implement, and at least give you an idea of how much actually goes into this. And if you are someone who is posting to a blog regularly or regularly writing articles or running those websites, I don't think we give ourselves enough credit for how much we're doing on a consistent basis, because each and every one of these posts requires a lot beyond its face value. So I'll dive into that, but real quick, I want to remind you that we have set up a Patreon page. We have rewards there that you are able to get at different tiers, and you can go to patreon.com/pushpullsales to check out all of the details, and we always appreciate your support. So I'll give you guys a couple different examples as we go through this episode. As you know by now, I run a couple different websites. The parenting website, adorethem.com. We have a lot of articles up there. So I'll give you some of those examples, and I might give you some podcast examples as well. But one thing that comes to mind, the idea for this episode was sparked when I was doing a Q&A type article with the CEO of eHarmony for adorethem.com. I was in touch with his PR person, and we were able to put together a wonderful Q&A type piece. It was related to work-life balance. It was an interesting topic. I was able to provide the questions. He was able to fill in the blanks, and we could piece it all together. But what really became apparent to me was just how many steps there were for this whole thing. So of course, there's the core of it, the writing. A lot of times I use Google Docs for this, so I do all of the writing within Google Docs, but it certainly doesn't end there. So even though I have the core value of the article ready to go, then I use WordPress for all of my websites. So I put the content into WordPress, and there needs to be a lot of formatting that goes into that. The formatting does matter. Which things do I want bold? Which things do I want italicized? Which things do I want, header sized? How do I want the spacing to look? Just going through and making sure that that it's very legible, it's very easy to read, and it flows, and there's creativity to how it's formatted. Because the great thing about writing online is that a lot of the rules have gone out the window. You don't have to have three sentences for every single paragraph. You can kind of play with things and make it more conversational and format things in a way that's going to be interesting and eye-catching to the reader. So it gives me a lot of flexibility and a lot of creativity to be able to format the text. It's not just a simple copy-paste. And I'm sure you've seen the simple copy-paste, and it can work sometimes, but you don't want people to land there and just skim through the post, or you don't want them to read a little bit and then lose interest. You want to make sure that you keep catching their eye at each step, which also means that along with the formatting, that you really want to be thinking about the graphics that you're going to be using within that article, especially writing for these websites and then sharing out on social media. I mean, graphics have just become a part of each post for what I do. So a lot of times I will have a header graphic that includes the title, and that way it's something related to the topic, but it also contains in pretty font or pretty colors, the title of that article. Then what I love to do, and I don't always have time to do it, but something that I love to do to be able to get creative is there's wonderful quotes throughout the content that I can pull out those quotes and create individual graphics that really highlights each of those. And to be able to break up a longer content piece into sections with kind of those graphics, those quote graphics at each like break point and each topic change potentially can be very valuable. And it gives you so much to work with when you are trying to promote that article, whether it's social media or email or whatever it might be. So I write it, put it in, format it all, add in the graphics. Well, create the graphics. I create a lot of the graphics either using Canva or there's an app for iPhones called Over. So I use those two a lot. Canva you can do on your phone or online, just canva.com, C-A-N-V-A. So I create the graphics as well. So of course that can be time consuming. From there, there's a lot of other stuff that goes into the article. So yes, I want SEO to be thought of. SEO doesn't have to be a huge thing. It used to, back in the day when I first started blogging, you could really game the system with SEO. And it was this big push for companies to make sure that they were using the exact right keywords in the exact right formula. A lot of that has gone out the window. Google's gotten smarter. Really, you just need to write in a way that is going to reach human people. That being said, it is important to keep in mind some SEO-friendly tactics. So on my websites, I have the Yoast SEO plugin, which makes it very easy for me to put in the title, a keyword that I'm trying to, you know, that the whole article is focused around, and it allows me to write a succinct meta description that will show up in search results. This SEO kind of stuff. So if I have a keyword or key phrase, usually by now I try to do a key phrase. You are not going to rank for you know, single keywords. It's very hard to appear in search results anyway, but it can still be helpful to make sure that you are, you know, that you're using SEO-friendly things throughout your website. So that means your titles are clear and SEO-friendly. People know what they're going to get if they click on that title, if they hear that title, which means that your title is there. It's in your meta descriptions. It's in your tags. Your URL is relevant. It means that those key phrases might be coming up within your image titles and alt text. And you know, if it's throughout the document too, hopefully you're just kind of talking about that topic and it comes up naturally as well. So I'm still making sure that those pieces are there. We could probably argue I'm not an SEO expert. There are things that if I was in a very specific niche that I could be really trying to rank for very specific keywords. You know, I see this a lot with small businesses who might be offering services in a small area. So it might be very helpful for them to have very specific keywords. In the parenting niche, you know, there's so much out there and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be just so specific or so small. And same thing applies to this podcast. You know, you're not searching for a Pennsylvania podcast typically, right? You don't care where it's coming from as long as the content is good. So it's a little bit of a different play there. But once that article is published, of course, my job doesn't end there, right? If I just click publish on the website, it will sit there and a couple people will see it, but that's kind of the end of it. Because unfortunately, we are past the days of going to your favorite website and seeing what they posted that day. I can't remember the last time that I organically typed in a URL into a browser, whether it's on my phone or my laptop or whatever, and went to a website just to see what was there. I click through things on social media. I click through things through my email. I click through things that other people send me, you know, via text message or something like that. But I rarely go to a website just to see what's there. So that being said, my job's not done, once I click publish. And the nice thing about these articles is that it can potentially give me a lot of content to use on my social channels. So if I have an article that has a header graphic and three quote graphics throughout the article, I just gave myself four great images that I can be sharing out regularly on social media. I can do one that has all four. You know, Facebook has that nice option where I can do more of like a carousel kind of thing or a grid type post where you're going to see a grid of all four of the pictures, and hopefully one of the quotes catches you beyond just the title of my article. It gives me a unique opportunity to draw people in. Or I can post them separately. And typically I would probably do both. You know, I would do a little bit of everything. And it allows me to play with that. So obviously posting to the different social channels is kind of another thing entirely. What you're going to post on Facebook is not the same as Instagram, is not the same as Twitter or Pinterest or whatever else it's going to be. But I did want to touch on the important point that when I'm sharing things out to social media, I try to make sure that that I'm tagging the person, if there's somebody that I worked with on this article. You know, for this Q&A type piece, I'm going to be tagging that CEO. Or if we have a podcast interview and we interviewed someone, I'm going to be tagging that person. And that takes effort a lot of times because I need to make sure that I find the right handle. And their handle on Instagram might not be the same as it is on Twitter. And their Facebook page might be in a different thing entirely. So just making sure that I take that extra time, that I'm not just clicking, you know, post to Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter all at the same time, that I'm taking the time to make sure that I'm tagging the appropriate people so that they get the credit they deserve, so that they see it and hopefully like, comment, share on it, and help improve my own reach and the reach of the article as a whole. And then beyond that, live social media posting, I will use scheduling tools. Typically I use Meet Edgar. There are other tools available out there that I can then add it to my library. So making sure that this piece of content, if it's an evergreen piece of content, that it truly stays evergreen, that every so often it gets shared out to Twitter. It tags that person. It's using relevant hashtags and making sure that it stays alive. The other thing that I do to give it some extra life and some extra eyes is repost that article on different websites that allow for reposting. So Huffington Post, I am a contributor there, and they allow you to repost articles that have appeared on other websites. They do not require original content. So I'm able to take this article that I worked hard on, and I'm able to share it on Huffington Post and get it in front of more people, new eyes, potentially gain new readers. It's a wonderful opportunity to get as much out of this work. You know, I've already put in the bulk of time and the creative effort into it, so I want to share it as many places as possible. I am also a contributor for the Today Parenting community, so anything parenting related, I'm able to repost there, which has been wonderful as well. They, of course, have an incredible reach and an incredible audience, and that's been very great. Another option that you could do is you can repost very easily on Medium. Medium.com is another platform. You can, some companies or publishers, I guess you could call them, they have their own publications on Medium. So you could apply to be a contributor for them and be able to share your content through Medium, through this publisher, and get extra eyes on it. Or you can just be sharing to your own Medium profile, which is valuable in and of itself. There's a different audience on Medium, and it's something that you might be able to gain your following and gain some traction there, because it is so easy to repost an article on Medium. All you have to do under your account, they have an option to simply paste in the URL of your original blog post, and it will lay it out there for you. It will grab everything, images, text, everything. Sometimes you have to go over it and make sure that it you know, looks the way you want it to look. But for the most part, it's a very quick and easy way to get it in front of extra people. So that, you know, once it's everywhere, I try to go through that list and make sure that it's out to everybody. Because the goal is to reach people with our content where people are reading content. Like I said, people are not necessarily going to your website. They're living on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Pinterest or their email inbox or, oh, the other one I often forget to mention is LinkedIn, depending on your audience, or Huffington Post, or, you know, so it's, they're not living on your website. So being able to reach them where they're at is so important. And, you know, why put in so much effort into an article if you're not going to continually be able to share it out and get new eyes on it? The process for this can look different depending on what you're doing. There's a lot of really creative things that you can be able to do that you can do. And I know sometimes it comes down to a matter of time. I know that's what it ends up being for me. There's a lot of things, especially for the podcast. Just the other day, I discovered this new thing that I need to look into where I can share audio clips very easily and in a visual form. And I want to dive in and check that out because, you know, how great would that be to be able to share a visual and audio just small clip through social media for the podcast. But I get it. You know, I'm in that same place as you are, that there's a lot of things on the to-do list that absolutely have to happen, and those extras don't always get there. So, you know, that's something to look into. I'm all about repurposing that content. For our podcast, we use Libsyn to host our MP3s, which is wonderful because it automatically, you know, I was able to set it up so that our podcast, once I upload it to Libsyn, is getting shared out to iTunes. It's getting shared out to iHeartRadio. It's getting shared out to Stitcher, Google Play, and YouTube. Did I say YouTube already? It's getting shared out to YouTube. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones. But to be able to find those hacks and those tricks so that stuff is getting, you know, on as many different platforms as possible is always so helpful for your cause. So hopefully you guys find that pretty helpful. And if you are finding yourself, you know, skipping some of these steps, or you find that you have a lot more steps, what I really want to wrap up with is that take a look at what you need to do for these articles and be very strategic about it. Try to write down your checklist of what needs to happen in what order. I do this a lot for the different websites until it becomes such a habit that I could pretty much do these things in my sleep, but do it in a way that's going to make sense for you so that you're not bouncing back and forth from one thing to the other. So is it, you know, you want all of your content and create all of your graphics and then you format everything, or, you know, what is your process going to look like? When are you, if you're doing a podcast too, you know, when are you uploading that media file? What order are you doing things? It matters. So take a little bit of time to figure out what you would like to do and then kind of treat it like a puzzle and format things and create an outline for yourself that you can keep just a very consistent routine so that it becomes less daunting, that if you have someone that can help you with it, that they'll be able to jump in and pick up where you left off and that you can become very systematic about it. Hopefully all of that was helpful to you guys. I think, you know, that kind of wraps things up for this week. Thank you, as always, to you guys for listening. Like I said, you can listen to us in a variety of ways. So maybe you're listening on our website or YouTube or Stitcher or iTunes or iHeartRadio is a new one for us. Google Play Music is a new one for us. So hopefully you can find us wherever that is most convenient for you. As always, thank you to bensound.com for our intro and outro music. You can support the show at patreon.com/pushpullsales. You can view show notes and resources at pushpullsales.com. And you can follow us on social media that I talked a lot about. We are at pushpullsales, whether that's Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And we will talk to you next time. Thanks. Bye.